Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com. I think you have to look at it differently now, too. It's not, Election Day is Tuesday in 2 weeks. No, election ends in 2 weeks. The election is, you could argue, already underway. The voting is
That's
happening.
Interesting.
The election ends in 2 weeks.
Nothing starts on November 5th.
Correct.
It ends on November 5th. All right, nice job, E.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Just about 12 minutes after 8 on this Tuesday morning. Also pointing out, we did top 80 degrees today, according to Storm Team 4 Chief Meteorologist Brian Nisnansky. On Monday, we did. Mm-hmm. That was 2 days in a row.
Two days in a row of 80s.
So who's right? Who was right about the 80 degrees?
Because it's so normal to suggest it's going to be 80 degrees in the end of October, but you were right.
Saying, I'm probably not right a lot, so I'm going to point it out once in a while when it works out.
Hey, that's fine. So today's a big day. What were you calling it? The IPAV?
IPAV is an acronym that I'm first hearing now. Stands for something that we've been doing for a while.
In-person absentee voting. So we're all IPAVing starting today, 2 weeks before the election. Not everybody, but a lot of people are starting this process.
A lot of folks just refer to it as early voting.
Sure.
The technical description is what we told you. Essentially, you're voting absentee, but you're doing it, in most cases, at your clerk's office. So city, town, village hall. Some places have satellite locations, which we'll get into.
Joining us on the Wisconsin's Morning News hotline, Trent Miner of the Wisconsin County Clerks Association. He's the president of the association. Trent, good morning. So level set for us. What is happening starting today?
Starting today, just like you guys opened up with, it is the start of in-person absentee voting in Wisconsin. The last 2 weeks, you can certainly go to the clerk's office and cast your ballot. It is an absentee voting process, but it's going to feel very much like a mini election day. The same processes hold true for this process as it would be on election day. You're going to show your photo ID, state your name and address. They're going to get you a ballot. You're just going to seal it up in an absentee envelope, and then it'll be held in the clerk's office in the safe until election day when it gets processed and then tabulated. So that process is starting throughout the state of Wisconsin today. So, yep, it's go time.
Would clerks prefer us to vote this way?
Oh, I don't know that we care one way or the other. We just want you to vote. I don't care if you do it absentee by mail, if you do it in person. Certainly, this gives us more time. There's less lines, usually, during in-person absentee voting. But we just want you to vote. We don't care how you do it. Just get out and vote.
It's interesting. We're talking with Trent Miner of the Wisconsin County Clerks Association. He is the president there. It's interesting, Trent, that because it's absentee voting, as you detailed, that's technically what's happening, even though you're doing it in person. It does create some sort of extra steps. I'm not sure I have a suggestion for how to get around that, but you have the envelope and you have the folding up of the ballot and putting it in the envelope and the sealing, and then you can't count it right away. It creates these extra steps. I wonder if there's ultimately a way that we'll get to where we streamline this process a little bit more years down the road.
I don't know if I'll live to see it.
Because nothing's easy, right?
That would require a legislative change, and that moves excruciatingly slow. So I don't anticipate that changing any time during certainly my tenure as county clerk. I don't anticipate that. There are some states where you can put it right into the machine right as soon as you vote during early voting. That's just not the way Wisconsin is set up. And so we will follow the laws that are on the books right now, and that means you'll be sealing it up in the envelope and having the witness sign it, and you'll sign the envelope, and we'll go through that process, and then everything is sealed up until election day.
I'm not saying it's your opinion, Trent, but what would the argument against putting a vote in this early voting period directly into the machine? What's the argument against doing that?
Well, I would think that there are some, how do we handle security of those ballots?
Sure. Okay.
How do we handle not making sure that those results aren't released until election night? Those are the types of things that you'd have to, think about and consider when you're going to be changing that law. Yeah, just something to think about.
What do the numbers look like? I mean, we've heard that already 320-some thousand have cast a ballot. I think the last time we spoke, you joined us a few months ago, maybe after the August election, Trent, and obviously the turnout for that did well. Are there anticipations for just, or are there indicators that would suggest this one will be potentially record-breaking or anything like that?
Oh, I certainly would anticipate it. I would hope so. You know, during a presidential, we always hope to better ourselves from last year. I think I had close to a 90% turnout up here in Wood County during the last presidential, and I would anticipate us doing that again. This year is a little bit different than 2020. We're not in the middle of a pandemic, so you know, if we're looking at the last presidential, you know, we had 60-70% of the votes being cast absentee because nobody wanted to go to the polls during a pandemic. That's just not going to be the case this time. I think the total number of votes is going to be very similar, but it's just the distribution of those votes between voting on election day and voting absentee. I'm looking at about, in Wood County, roughly, in very rough numbers, looking at about a 20% absentee turnout right now. So, and that's about where I would consider, you know, I would think it would be at this point.
Trent Miner is with us on Wisconsin's Morning News. He's the president of the Wisconsin County Clerks Association as we open in-person absentee voting today. I'll point out as well, and we're getting this from the Wisconsin Elections Commission, Trent, the legal deadline for requesting an absentee ballot by mail. So if that's you want the clerk to send you that ballot and you want to mail it back in or drop it off yourself, that legal deadline is next week, Thursday. But the Elections Commission is saying, do the math yourself, but that's not going to work out well for you if you wait that long.
Oh, absolutely not. You have no chance. You know, you want to plan early. I would be getting on that. If there's any question that you aren't going to be able to vote on election day at your polling location, request that absentee ballot now, or hit up the in-person absentee voting sites throughout the state of Wisconsin, or call your clerk. A lot of our clerks, especially in the northern end, they have full-time jobs. They don't have set office hours, so a lot of these in-person absentee opportunities are by appointment only. Give your clerk a call. They're willing to work around your schedule and their schedule, and we'll make sure we get you in there to vote in person. Otherwise, like I said, if you want it by mail, you best be getting on that now, because the mail isn't the quickest that it's ever been in our lifetime. So on a good day. I honest to God, I sent my absentee ballot. It had to make it about three blocks from my house to my city clerk's house, or to city clerk's office. It took a week and a half mailing it back. So I was starting to get a little panicky, and then finally it did show up. So, yeah, if you're going to request it by mail, you probably want to have a plan in place to deliver it, make sure that it is the voter delivering that ballot back to the municipal clerk.
How are the poll worker numbers looking? You hear anything, if there's any dead spaces, so to speak, across the state or anything?
I haven't heard across the state. I'll just use my county as an instance. We're looking pretty good right now. The clerks the last 4 years, I mean, it used to be you had a set group of people that were your poll workers. They were your steadies. They were there for 30 years. The same three were always at the same polling location. If 2020 taught us anything, it was that you need a deep back bench. You can't just rely on three people to be there all the time. So right now in Wood County, we're looking pretty good. And I think we even have some reserves in the backup if we need to, if something comes up. So right now it's looking real well for around our area.
You know what the idea we had was, or I shouldn't speak for Vince, but the idea of like making it like jury duty, where you get pulled in and you have to actually...
I'm on board with that.
You be a poll worker, Trent, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So you show up Monday and you get your training, you do the job Tuesday, and then you're there Wednesday if you need to be there. So it's like a...
Everybody does a turn.
Yeah, and then you learn more about the process, too.
This is a true statement, although I like people that want to be there. You know, a lot of people don't want to be on jury duty. I kind of like people that want to be there because they're more into the process. And we have some outstanding poll workers throughout the state of Wisconsin, dedicated public servants, you know, who are very principled and look to do their job as best as they can. So I'm looking forward to a great election season.
Well, thanks for doing it. We appreciated it. We know more than ever before. The magnifying glass is always on the clerks now. So, Trent Miner, thank you so much. Good luck in 2 weeks.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate your time.
Trent Miner, the Wisconsin County Clerks Association president, as we mark today the first day of in-person absentee voting.
He makes a good point. Have you been on jury duty lately?
Not lately.
Right, me either. Like, some folks are more motivated than others. To his point, though, and what we've been talking about, you have to check with your local clerk's office about this. In-person absentee voting can legally begin today, but it may not in your community, depending on where you live, or your hours are going to be different. City of Milwaukee, which obviously is our largest city in the state, they're going to open 10 sites where you can vote in this manner starting today. Some of those sites, five of them, will be open on weekends, Saturdays, and Sundays. So if you live in Milwaukee, you'll have a lot of opportunities to vote in this fashion. If you live in a smaller community, as he said, there may be no regular hours at your town hall with your clerk there. And so you have to actually call the clerk and say, when can I meet you down at town hall? Or some clerks will even do it in their homes. When can I meet you to do that? So there's a wide disparity in terms of access to the ballot in this in-person absentee voting process.
I think you have to look at it differently now, too. It's not, election day is Tuesday in 2 weeks. No, election ends in 2 weeks. The election is, you could argue, already underway. The voting is
happening. That's interesting.
The election ends in 2 weeks.
Nothing starts on November 5th.
Correct.
It ends on November 5th. All right, nice job, E. 8:21 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Pretty decent day today, partly to mostly cloudy. Chance this early evening of an isolated shower, high 72 in your Storm Team forecast.
Passengers only. There is no stopping in the red zone.
Got it? No stopping in the red zone.
How long does it take to say goodbye in the red zone? An airport in New Zealand is putting its foot down on how long you can love on someone before they leave at the airport. Airport is sparking a debate after putting up a sign that says, you can only hug your loved one for 3 minutes in its free drop-off zone.
That's what the sign actually says?
Yes, 3 minutes.
No, but you can only hug your loved one for 3 minutes?
Yes, essentially. Max hug time, 3 minutes, it reads.
They got a stopwatch on the hug time.
If you want a longer goodbye, you got to pay to park. The airport CEO says that a 20-second hug is the ideal length and that shorter hugs means more people will get them. Their point being, look, we can't have you parking up there to do the drop-off and putting the blinkers on and then spending 7-8 minutes saying goodbye.
Well, are people like making out at the airport? Is this a problem? Well,
apparently. 3 minutes, actually. Doesn't that sound like a long time?
Sounds
to say
like
goodbye?
Plenty of time for a hug.
Hmm. So, yeah, this is nothing.
Does that include your load and unload time?
Well, yeah, but how much time does that take?
Well, I mean,
the red zone has always been for loading and unloading. There's never stopping in a white zone.
Don't tell me which zone is for stopping and which zone is for loading.
Don't tell me to hug for only 3 minutes.
Don't tell me how long a hug's supposed to last.
Don't you start the goodbye process when you're driving to the airport anyway?
There should be some, I would agree with that. There should be some conversation about how this person will be missed, how you've got things taken care of at the home.
Yeah.
How you'd like frequent updates on how things are going.
Right. Yes, all of these things.
We'll be okay, but we sure miss you. Right. Yeah. But that should occur before you get out of the vehicle.
Here's what I want you to do. Okay. I want you to go home and hug Nicole for three minutes and tell me if that's a long hug.
You're trying
or not.
To get away. What the hell's going on here? What's wrong with you?
Let go of me.
What did you do?
3 minutes seems plenty of time. I'm surprised that this is actually getting backlash in New Zealand.
I do feel like at Milwaukee Mitchell of late, and it feels like more recently, or maybe I've just made more trips to the airports over the last several years, but I feel like they're hustling you along pretty good. Like
yeah.
You can have bags in hand and you've got somebody going like, gotta move. I'm like, I am actively loading and unloading. I thought that was the deal. This is active.
Debbie pointed that out too. Don't you feel a little stressed sometimes? Like when you get there, you're like, okay, gotta go. Like you just don't even feel right about parking there for very long anyway.
Yeah, I mean, like, why do I have to throw my back out while I'm getting this? Like, I'm active.
For reference, we just hit the 3 minute mark on this segment.
Okay, so
keep that in mind.
All right, so now we can stop
hugging. That's how long?
We've been hugging this whole time.
Greg Pancake Hill, producer of the program there. Good mark on that. Yeah, I feel like if you for sure can't park. You can't leave your vehicle, and that's for security reasons. Full support there. And you also got the people who just want to sit there and camp. You know, and wait, well, I'm in the vehicle. No, we can't do that. We're actively loading or unloading. Cool, I'm down with all that. But if I got bags in my hand, give me a second.
Okay? Well, it also, it depends on which lane you're in. If you're like
three lanes out of the curb there, you know, in the middle of the drive-through areas, and you have the flashers on. That's kind of brutal.
Yeah. Well, at least you have something in your back pocket. Babe, I'd be here longer, but we got
we gotta go.
3 minutes. Gotta go.
Listen, buddy, don't start up with your white zone shit again.
About 20 minutes before 9 o'clock on Wisconsin's Morning News. Big vote ahead today, and we're not talking about in-person absentee voting.
No. Will this even be in person? Will they be on Zoom calls? We'll find out tonight.
No, they'll be there.
The Waukesha County Board considering a sales tax tonight. A proposed 0.5% sales tax increase. Paul Farrell, the county executive there, has told us in the past, this was as late as August, that state revenue limits and the current shared revenue formula have left the county in a persistent $5 million annual budget shortfall.
Waukesha County sends $1.55 billion every year to Madison in personal income and sales tax. We receive back $60 million. We are the lowest receiving county when it comes to state aid across the entire state.
And we've heard Farrell say that before. So now being proposed is the idea of a 0.5% sales tax being added. Now, there is some pushback, of course. The chair of the Republican Party in Waukesha County is telling the Waukesha Freeman the board isn't giving enough time for the public to have a voice on this matter. They believe that they are pushing this quickly through. Now, the board chair says that's not true. They've been discussing actually trying to fill budget gaps for years, that there's always been some problems there that they've kind of seen coming. But tonight will be the vote. There is a lot of support for the sales tax addition from other local leaders like the DA in Waukesha County and the sheriff. But we'll find out if there's any other vocal opposition tonight.
It's a hard part. I mean, the officials who are pushing for this, their math is the math, right? And you can't constantly run at a shortfall. That's understood. I always look at taxation issues, though, as being difficult, whether it's a referendum for your school district or whatnot. You start at the initial question of, do I feel currently undertaxed? At this moment in time, do I feel like,
you know what?
Yeah, I could really give a few hundred dollars more every month or every year, what?
No one says that.
No one says that. So then if that, then how do you get to this, but I support this one, right?
And
that's
right.
And that's hard. The math notwithstanding, does anybody in the state of Wisconsin currently feel undertaxed? And the answer being no,
of course
I appreciate the pushback and where that's coming from. Mm-hmm. The county, Waukesha, is one of the only ones in the state that does not currently levy a sales tax of any kind.
Maybe
right?
A small
two or
handful,
three?
Maybe two or three.
So we'll see what the county board decides. That meeting is tonight. Or do they pull in Milwaukee and just kick it down the road? cut that at the next meeting.
We'll take care of it a different time.
8:42 on Wisconsin's Morning News. On Wisconsin's Morning News this Tuesday morning. Talk about the park and ride situation here, and I have some firsthand knowledge because I went and drove by there early this morning.
Checked it out?
Yeah, so today some vehicles, some campers and RVs still remain in the park and ride lot that is closed to all traffic otherwise. So no parking, no riding at the park and ride. This would be at the Holt Avenue park and ride lot on Milwaukee's south side. DOT is clearing it out. They want to prevent people from living there on a semi-permanent basis.
If this doesn't go through again, where do we sleep tonight? I don't want to cry again, but where do we sleep tonight?
So that's a woman. She's been living at the park and ride, she says, with her husband, hoping that their housing efforts will come through. She was at the time talking with TMJ4's Mary Jo Ola out there at the park and ride. So I drove, it's kind of on my way in from the south side and got off the freeway this morning, wanted to see it for myself, what the current situation was. So there's a temporary chain link fence that is around the entire park and ride lot, which is if you're driving on I-94, 43, if you're southbound, it's out your right-hand side, so it's on the west side of the freeway, right? And so I got this chain-link fence there. Early in the morning, it was a couple of Wisconsin State Patrol cruisers that were out at the entrance, clearly not letting anybody in. The good news is it does not appear that authorities have had to forcibly remove anyone. I've seen no evidence of that based on the news reporting that is out there over the last 24 hours or so. As I suggested, there are still some vehicles there. Not sure if anybody's inside E or what the plan is if they're not removed.
Well, eventually they'll just remove the vehicles, I suppose, right?
So we did talk about what if there's someone there who like simply refuses to leave and is like, nope, I'm not going. Like, what are authorities willing to do in order to resolve that in the manner that they want? Don't know what that's going to look like. But as I said, largely cleaned out, just maybe a half dozen or so vehicles that appeared way on the north side of the park and ride are still there. Next week, authorities are going to take similar steps further south. So this would be on College Avenue. Woman here, 5 months pregnant, says she and her husband started living at the lot on the east side of the freeway after fire destroyed their apartment. So they had housing. They were in an apartment, so there was a fire, and they, for whatever reason, couldn't get someplace else to stay. And listen to what she says. You know, county says we're working to find housing for folks. But she said, it's not that simple.
Actually talking to us and actually helping us get a place, because you know there's no way for us to properly charge our phone. So when it comes to calling housing and having to wait for them, and it's not really easy.
So, you know, like, okay, they're like, oh, well, call this number. Well, I don't, my phone's not charged, or I don't have a phone, or what. So I her case, for those who lack empathy about this situation, like, should illustrate for you, not all of these folks are being stubborn and saying, I won't go. You know, some of them are trying and they're struggling to figure it out.
And don't even know where to put their vehicle if they have a vehicle or an RV. Like, where are you even going to put that? Because you need to pay for wherever you put it.
That's right. You can't just park wherever. Right. So, yeah, I illustrate these stories because clearly there are some folks there who are causing problems. And the reason this has come to a head once again is because you have authorities releasing data for the last 3 months in summer where they said, look, we're nearly 300 calls for service in these encampments. It's a couple a day where police or the sheriff's deputies are being called out for issues of drug abuse, of theft, of violence, of fighting, other things. And that's a problem. That's not what these lots are for. So I agree. And the Department of Transportation puts these lots out there, and now you have this one on Holt Avenue that's not accessible for people who want to use it for its intended purpose, which is to carpool. You know, you, me, and Pancake, we're going somewhere. I'll drive. We all meet at the park and ride. You leave your car. He leaves his. Yep. Off we go, right? That's good.
Everybody's done that.
Or you catch transit. You catch a bus there or something like that and leave your car in a safe, well-lit lot where it's going to be largely left alone. And that's not the case. So DOT wants to reclaim these properties, and that's what it's there for. There's been some criticism of that, and I'll read a little bit of a news release that came from a couple of Milwaukee County Board supervisors. This would be Supervisor Jack Ekblad and Supervisor Caroline Gomez-Tom. And the top of the news release reads, the decision by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation to close both the Holt Avenue and College Avenue park and ride facilities fails to address the underlying issues contributing to homelessness in our community. It's a lengthy news release, and they make a number of points. They're critical of the DOT and this decision to clear out these lots. I will point out that's Supervisor Gomez-Tom's district, and it's not the DOT's job to find housing for people. Even if you have empathy and sympathy for the folks who found themselves in this situation, that's not what the Department of Transportation does. They run a park and ride lot, and they're trying to do that, and this is not a new problem.
No, no.
So you've seen this with your own eyes, Supervisor, in your district, and it's not something that just happened last month. This has been going on for weeks, for months, for over a year at least, where we've had this. And I appreciate it's difficult, as I just illustrated, to solve these problems. But to put it on the DOT like they're somehow out of line here, look, what are they supposed to do? At some point, it has to end. And actually, DOT is forcing you in the county into action to find another way for these folks.
And don't forget, it's going to get cold soon. Doesn't feel like it yet, but ultimately, it's going to get very cold, dangerously cold. And that's also another issue why you need to get some of these folks out of there.
So we'll see how it goes with those remaining vehicles there. Again, that's off of Holt and then College Avenue. Talking about next week, there'll be like a 48-hour warning period where folks who've been staying there on a semi-permanent basis will get some sort of sticker or some sort of warning saying, look, you got 48 hours to get out, and then we're shutting this down. And then they're talking about a full closure. I believe Adam Roberts from the News Center came in a little bit earlier. He said the east side. So east side of the freeway at College Avenue, they would be closing that lot in its entirety. West side of the freeway, they're talking about a partial closure. That's where you and I had our encounter.
Yes.
Quick story, Eric and I, when we went, was that the eclipse day?
That was the eclipse
where day, we did the park and ride, and we both got dropped off, and there was a guy in the lot who like had words for both of us for whatever reason. And again, a couple of guys, no problem, drove off.
Yeah,
but
it was no big deal.
to the point of people feeling like they're harassed in this space.
That could change the behavior of someone, for sure, wanting to use that spot.
Right. So they're going to start approaching that next week at College Avenue, and we'll see how things play out in the coming days at Holt Avenue there on the south side. 852 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Dray Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Pretty good run continuing here. High 72 degrees today under partly to mostly cloudy skies. Chance early this evening of an isolated shower. Tonight's low down to 51. Wednesday's high 60, 63 on Thursday and Friday, and then a little bit cooler over the weekend. But Storm Team 4 Chief Meteorologist Brian Nisnansky told us we can't expect mostly sunny skies over the weekend and temperatures in the mid to upper 50s.
So what would you do if this happened to you? In Australia, a woman was rescued after spending 7 long hours wedged upside down in a crevice between two large boulders. She got stuck trying to get her phone. Her phone fell through this area. She
I can reach
there,
that. Yeah, I can get that.
Slid all the way down. I showed you the picture of her feet.
Yeah. Oh.
Her bare feet, where all you could see is she's in this dark crevasse upside down. They're able to get her. It took 7 hours, but crews were able to slowly move the boulders just enough to pull her out of there.
It's not the time. It's the upside down, right?
Yeah, that's not good.
Because, like, I'm upside down for 10 seconds. I'm like, ugh. Don't you think?
So,
all the blood in your head? Wouldn't you pass out? Geez. No, it's the other way around, right?
How badly do you need your phone? Do you think she thought that after she reached for it? Like,
Well, my contacts are in there. Apple Pay and whatnot, right?
Oh, this poor lady. I'm just glad she's okay. They got her. They got her out.
On the podcast page today, Greg Pancake Hill, producer of the program, informs me virtually the entire show is podcasted already. So if you missed Mark Tauscher talking about whether or not you can throw away from a safety like our boy Xavier McKinney, who very disappointingly has come up two straight weeks without an interception.
Not playing good ball at the moment.
Terrible football. That's up there. We talked to the president of the Wisconsin County Clerks Association about in-person absentee voting and the rules that surround that, how you go about that process, which is open across Wisconsin today. So that is up there as well. 8:57, WTMJ's Political Power Hour with Steve Scafidi is up next. We blew a gasket on the grape.